God is manifested in the beating of the heart, in the action of the lungs, and in the living currents that circulate through the thousand different channels of the body. We are indebted to Him for every moment of existence and for all the comfort of life. The powers and abilities that elevate man above the lower creation are the endowment of the Creator. He loads us with His benefits. We are indebted to Him for the food we eat, the water we drink, the clothes we wear, the air we breathe. Without His special providence, the air would be filled with pestilence and poison. He is a bountiful benefactor and preserver. The sun which shines upon the earth and glorifies all nature. The weird, solemn radiance of the moon. The glories of the firmament spangled with brilliant stars. The showers that refresh the land and cause vegetation to flourish. The precious things of nature in all their varied richness. The lofty trees, the shrubs and plants, the waving green, the blue sky, the green earth, the changes of day and night, the renewing seasons all speak to man of his Creator's love. He has linked us to himself by all these tokens in heaven and in earth. He watches over us with more tenderness than does a mother over an afflicted child. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Counsels on Stewardship, page 17, paragraphs 1 to 4. God is good, and all the time. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. And I often say, God is so good. When He blesses us, He is good. When He punishes us, He is good. When He answers our prayers, He is good. When He does not, He is good. When He sent the flood, He was good. When He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, He was good. When He comes back to destroy sinners, He will be good. God is good all the time. Can you say amen? Mungu ni mwema. Siku zote. Amina. For those of you who did not understand that heavenly language, we simply said God is good all the time. I welcome you to the house of God tonight. And I also welcome those who are connecting with us via Facebook and YouTube. We thank you for your faithful presence and attendance, and I sincerely ask God to bless your lives, to explain His word to you, so that at the end of this presentation, you will leave wherever you are with greater light about the word of God. Thank you very much for coming. May God bless every country represented by those who are listening. We're very grateful for your presence. Our subject for this evening, the proper use of power. What did I say? The proper use of power. Let's bow our heads and pray. Holy Father in heaven, thank you very much, dear God, for life. Thank you for the freedom we have to come to this place to worship you without persecution. As we bow in your presence, Father, if we've sinned against you, forgive us. Forgive us generously, dear God. Forgive us quickly. We ask you, Father, to grant us your Spirit. For He is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said in John 16:13, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Guide us, dear God, into truth. Because it is truth alone that sanctifies. It is truth alone that sets us free. Bless everyone listening, Father. A very special blessing on all our visitors. Bless every country represented. Bless the leaders of those countries. And as I always ask you, dear God, let those leaders in all their decision-making remember that righteousness exalteth a nation. If anyone listening is sick, In mercy, dear God, place your hand of healing on that person. If anyone has contracted the coronavirus, remove that dreaded disease, dear God, and grant that person health. Now, Father, I humble myself before you. I ask you to be merciful to me and to speak through me, dear God. Tell me what to say and grant me the humility of Christ that I may listen to your spirit as he directs my mind. I pray from my heart in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Our subject, the proper use of power. We have all heard of the word gospel. The gospel is the good news of something that God has done. We are familiar with the word gospel. And we realize the word gospel only has beneficial connotations. We use the word gospel to legitimize all sorts of things. So we have gospel rock. And if you put gospel, it means the rock is good. We have gospel rap. There's gospel aerobics. There's gospel everything. Because by attaching the word gospel, we hope and believe that it will confer some kind of acceptability on whether it's rap, rock, or whatever else. We know the word gospel. Let's find out something about the gospel, the source of the gospel. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll read from verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 2, reading from verse 1, our subject, the proper use of power. Do you have 1 Thessalonians 2, reading from verse 1? For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after we had suffered a while and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to preach unto you the gospel of God with much contention. The Bible says the gospel is the gospel of God. Look at verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Here again we have repeated the gospel of God. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you. Verse 9, we preached unto you the gospel of God. This gospel is the gospel of God. We just saw that in three verses. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. So we have established to God's satisfaction that the gospel is the gospel of God. Let us go to 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll read verse 17. Our subject, the proper use of power. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And so we have 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 2, 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8, 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 9, 1 Peter 4 17. The gospel is the gospel of God. And you don't get higher than God. God is the source of the gospel. If that's clear, say amen. I heard you. But let me issue or present to you a blessed surprise. The gospel is not only the gospel of God. Let's go to Romans 1. Romans 1, powerful book about righteousness by faith, should always be studied along with Galatians, as Revelation should be studied along with what book? Daniel, very good. Romans 1, before I give you the verse, let me pray again. Father, this message is delicate. Speak through me very precisely, dear God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of what? The gospel of Christ. So now it is the gospel of Christ. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and we'll read from verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 3, reading from verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer, read the next few words, in the gospel of Christ. The gospel is the gospel of God. It is also the gospel of Christ. Let us go to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. We read verses 7 and 8. Our subject, the proper use of power. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Finish the verse. And that obey what? Not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here again we have the gospel is the gospel of Christ. It is also stated in 1 Corinthians 9:18. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 9:18. What is or shall be my reward then? This is Paul speaking. Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may preach the gospel of Christ without charge. The gospel is the gospel of God. It is also the gospel of Christ. Because Father and Son came up with a plan called the gospel to redeem sinners from sin and to restore the relationship that was broken by sin. This is a plan not devised by the most intelligent angels. No angel could have come up with that plan. It was devised by Father and Son. It is the gospel of God. It is the gospel of Christ. And the things of God should be handled with great care. Can you say amen? And the gospel is something of God. It is something of Christ. Let's learn something else about the gospel. Luke chapter 2. Luke 2. We read from verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you what? Good tidings of, if you have the King James Version, yes, it's good news, good tidings of great joy. The angel said, I have brought you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, not just those in Palestine, to the entire world. Christ came to the world and he came on a mission. He came with a message that was great joy. So the angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The gospel is good tidings of great joy. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61. We'll read verse 1. Our subject, the proper use of power. Isaiah. The book is called The Gospel Prophet. He speaks so much about Jesus. Chapter 61, reading verse 1. If you found it, say amen. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to do what? To proclaim and to preach what? Good tidings unto the meek. The Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. That's what Isaiah wrote. Let's listen to how Jesus interprets that verse. Go to Luke chapter 4, we read verse 18. Jesus will quote this verse, but he helps us to understand what Isaiah was saying. And no one can explain the Bible like Jesus. Luke 4, verse 18, our subject, the proper use of power. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Just like Isaiah 61:1. Because he hath anointed me to do what? Preach the gospel to whom? The poor. When Isaiah said good tidings, Jesus said what he meant was the gospel. Let me say that again for fear that someone did not catch it. Isaiah said, he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Jesus said, he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. When Isaiah said good tidings to the meek, that's what he meant. Even though he may not have understood it, Jesus said what Isaiah was saying, that the gospel is good tidings. It is preached to the poor or the meek. And anyone who does not know God is poor. The gospel is good news. The Greek for gospel is euangelion. EU is a prefix meaning good. So you have a euphemism is a nice good way of saying something harsh. So you have a euphemistic expression. People don't die, they are late. Are you following me? They pass away. That's a euphemism, a good word for dead. A eulogy is a good word spoken at a funeral. You means good, logy means word, a good word. And so the gospel is you, good, angelion, message. So the gospel is a good message, it's good news, as someone said to my left. What have we learned so far tonight? The gospel is the gospel of God. We also learned, to our delight, the gospel is the gospel of Christ. We've learned the gospel is good tidings of great joy. That's what an angel said. And that angel was sent by God to say that. The gospel is good news. Let's learn something else about the gospel. Go back to Romans 1, we'll read verse 16. Romans 1, reading verse 16. Our subject, the proper use of power. Romans chapter 1, reading verse 16. If you found it, somebody say amen, so I can proceed. The Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. What are the next few words? Unto salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now listen microscopically. Closely. The gospel of Christ is the power of God. Now, we found out the gospel is the gospel of God. Did we find that out? Yes. We also found out it's the gospel of Christ. Now, this verse binds the two. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Which means only God can save you. And sin is such a major problem, only the power of God can deliver you. The angel Gabriel is the highest angel in heaven. He cannot deliver you. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. We've discovered that the gospel is power. Power over what? Because it says power unto salvation. Think with me. That was favor number three. Let me pray again. Dear God, please simplify my language, Father, because you're not willing that any should perish. If you mean those words, dear God, speak simply through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go to Matthew 1. Matthew 1, we'll read verse 21. Matthew 1, reading verse 21. Our subject, the proper use of power. And again, God bless you for coming in the building. Those of you who came to Facebook and YouTube, bless you, bless you, bless you. We have Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son. That's the angel Gabriel speaking to Joseph in a dream. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people, come on, from their sin. Not in their sins, as many people want to be saved. Save me in my sin. Save me, but leave me in the house of that man who's not my husband. But save me. Save me so I can go to the club saved. Save me so I can go to the casino saved. No, no, no. The Bible says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. To ask God to save you in your sins is to insult the name of Jesus, because he was given that name because he will save us from our sins. But in order for Jesus to save us from our sins, he has to use the power of God. Because the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Anything less cannot save you. Now, is there any power in the universe greater than the power of God? Yes or no? No. Is smoking greater than the power of God? No. Then can the power of God deliver you from cigarettes? Answer me quickly. Yes. Can the power of God deliver you from gambling addiction? Yes. The gospel is the power of God. And to doubt that God can deliver you is to question the power of God. Can the power of God deliver you from pornography on the internet? The answer is yes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What have we learned? The gospel is the gospel of God. The gospel is the gospel of Christ. The gospel is the greatest news the universe has ever heard. The angel said, good tidings of great joy, and the gospel is for everyone. The gospel, as we learned, is the power of God. And there is no greater power than the power of God. In other words, it requires divine power for a sinner to be delivered from sin. But that's why Jesus came. There is good news that a way has been devised to break you and me from the bondage of sin. But what's our subject? The proper use of power. When Jesus walked this earth, he was a man. But he was also, tell me, God. Let me say it again for fear that someone didn't know that. Jesus Christ, when he walked the earth, was both God and man. He faced temptations how? As a man. He faced the devil how? As a man. He was hungry as a man. He was tired as a man. He bled as a man. He cried as a man. He was insulted as a man. He raised Lazarus as God. And nobody said amen. He forgave sins, come on, as God. He accepted worship, come on, as God. But he died as a man. Look at this man who was also God. Let's go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. We'll read the very last verse of that chapter. Matthew Matthew 13, I believe it's verse 58, the very last verse of that chapter. Read something interesting about Jesus. Do you have that verse? Let me pray again. Father, as I proceed, please, God, this is your service. This is your word. Control it, I pray, through me. In Jesus' name, amen. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, this is God. Matthew is a nice person. He says he did not. He didn't do it. Here's what Mark says. Go to Mark 6. Mark 6. We'll read verses 5 and 6. Mark 6, 5 and 6. Right after Matthew. If you found it, say amen through your masks. All right. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hand upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Mark said he couldn't do it. Matthew says he didn't do it. Mark said he couldn't do it. Why was it that Jesus, who was God, could not do any mighty miracle when he went to Nazareth where he was brought up? The Bible gives us the reason. Because of unbelief. God does not honor unbelief with a demonstration of his power. I say it again. God does not honor unbelief. God does not honor doubt. So where there's unbelief, God's power is restricted. And so Mark said he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Now, because of the absence of faith, the power of God was not expressed. But the gospel is the power of God. How do we use that power? Go back to 1 Peter 4:17. We just saw unbelief led to a restricted expression of God's power. He could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. Now, 1 Peter 4:17, the proper use of power. When you found it, say amen. All right, some of you are still looking. 1 Peter 4:17. We will read microscopically. Concentrate, let no one distract you. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Keep focusing. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of whom? Come on, tell me, of whom? Of them that what? Obey not the gospel of God. Ah. This gospel, which is the gospel of God. This gospel, which is the gospel of Christ. This gospel, which is good news. This gospel, which is power. This gospel must be obeyed. There are many Christians who are opposed to obedience. They believe Christ died, so I have nothing to do. The Bible says, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of Christ or the gospel of God? Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's read verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 1, reading verse 8, our subject, the proper use of power. And the power we are referring to is the power of God. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. We looked at that power and how it is affected. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Finish the text if you have the King James Version. And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a second verse. The gospel must be obeyed. The devil has deceived millions of Christians believing that grace cancels obedience. Grace cannot cancel obedience. Grace and obedience work together. It is by the power of grace that we can obey. And so the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. We're saved by faith. But there's a dead faith and there's a living faith. By which one are we saved? The living faith. Because faith without works, come on, finish it for me, is dead. Now, Jesus could do no mighty work in Nazareth, and he was God, because there was no faith. This is God. Could not express his power in an environment of faithlessness. The gospel must be believed, but the proof of genuine belief or the proof of faith, finish my words, is obedience or works. You cannot sit in a rocking chair, keep your eye on Calvary, and end up in heaven. There must be obedience. You see, obedience is what releases the power. This is how we use power, through obedience. It releases the power. When Jesus met 10 lepers, when he saw them, Luke 17, verse 14, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priest." The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed." Look at, go to Luke 17, 14. I want you to see it for with your own eyes. Luke 17, 14, our subject, the proper use of power. We're talking about the gospel and the response God requires of us in order that that power might work in our lives. Luke 17, verse 14. Do you have that? When he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves to whom? The priest." And it came to pass that as they what? As they went. Who told them to go? So when they went, what were they doing? Did I hear the word? Huh? They were obeying. Ah, you missed it. But I forgive you. You missed it. Listen microscopically. And when he saw them, he, who is he? Who was Jesus? Man and, come on, talk to me. Man and God. Now, God said to those men, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." The Bible says, and it came to pass as they what? Went. Say that differently. As they obeyed. They were cleansed. Obedience is the faucet return that causes the power to flow in our lives. As they went, they were cleansed or healed. The Bible says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, the gospel must be obeyed. 1 Peter 4:17. "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel?" What will happen to those who disobey? Obedience is part of the gospel. Let me ask you this. The angel told Joseph in Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Why? "He shall save his people from their sins." What is sin? The transgression, come on, of the law. The Bible says that, 1 John 3:4. If sin is the transgression of the law, and you're saved from sin, what are you saved from? Transgressing the law. Which means that the good news of the gospel is that God has provided a way for to restore us to a life of perfect harmony with his divine standard, because it was breaking away from that standard that led to this world being cast into sin. Let me say it again. The gospel, this is a new definition perhaps for you. The gospel is the plan, the method, that genius method God devised to restore us into harmony with his divine standard. He shall save his people from the sins, from transgressing the law. That's what Adam did. Let me review. Review is very important. The gospel is the gospel of God, not the angel. It's the gospel of Christ, and he's fully divine. It is good news. There is a system that can deliver you from addiction. There is a system that can deliver you from whatever has you in bondage all your life. That's good news. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel must be believed. But the only evidence of genuine belief is obedience, which you can call works. This is not salvation by works. This is salvation that produces works. When a man is drunk, he walks like this. Are you with me? That's the work of a drunk man. He walks like this. When he's sober, he walks like this. That's the work of a sober man. Are you following me? Let me do it again. Alcohol in a man produces works. What's the works? Slurred speech, blurred vision, and an unsteady walk. So when a policeman pulls you over for drifting across the lanes, what does he make you walk? A line? Can you walk a straight line? The policeman cannot see the alcohol, but he can see the works the alcohol produces. If I'm right, say amen. Now, if you walk a straight line, you're not drunk. If you can touch your nose, you're not drunk. When Christ comes into us, when we receive Christ, which is an act of obedience. Let me pray. Father, your people look a little unclear. It's my fault. Help me, please, dear God, in Jesus' name. Amen. When you receive the gospel, you receive Christ, you have obeyed. Go to 1 John 3. Let's read verse 23. 1 John 3, 23. Thank you. You have 1 John 3, 23. And we're coming to the close. Our subject, the proper use of power. And that is obey. Faith. And faith is faith only if it is expressed in works. 1 John 3, 23. Do we have that? Somebody say amen. And this is his commandment, that we should do what? Believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, read the verse again. Read it microscopically. If you have the King James, you may read out loud. Let the internet hear you. And this is his what? Is it? This is his suggestion. This is his idea. This is his commandment. What's the commandment? That we should believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. We are commanded to believe. We are not forced. Because we're also commanded, thou shalt not kill. And people still kill. So a command from God is not compulsion. And this is his commandment. That we should believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ. So when the Bible says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, when you believe, you have obeyed. I feel as if I'm talking to myself. I'll say it one more time at the risk of being tedious. When someone says, I receive Jesus into my life, that is an act of obedience. And when it's genuine, it allows that power, which is the gospel, to work in that person's life. The proper use of power is the obedience of faith. We review for the last time. The gospel is the gospel of? Too slow. Is the gospel of? It's also the gospel of Christ. The gospel is the power of God. That's divine power is needed to deliver us from satanic bondage. I'll say that again. Only divine power can deliver a human from satanic bondage. The gospel must be believed. Let's go see that. Matthew 4, verse 17. Matthew 4, 17. This is Jesus. Do you have Matthew 4, 17? And nobody answered the preacher. Oh, you do? Okay. From that time forth began Jesus to preach and to say what? Repent, come on. And what? Repent and do what? Repent of what? Repent of what? Sin. What is sin? Transgression of the law. The gospel is the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, the power of God. It is good news. It must be believed. It must be obeyed. Because obedience is the way to have power released into our lives. In Mark 6, verse 5 and 6, Matthew 15, 30 and 58, Christ could not do mighty works because of unbelief. Then you take that and you flip it. He did mighty works because of belief. And when you accept Christ, that's an act of obedience. My brothers and sisters, in the middle of the gospel is this concept of obedience. By that divine power that the gospel is. It calls for obedience and it provides the power. And that obedience is the commandment 1 through 10. Or obedience of the commandments, but to God. God calls you tonight. Obey me. I know the carnal nature hates the word obey. We don't like people to tell us what to do. That's the way we're born. But Jesus came to break that. We don't like anybody's laws, God's laws, the state's laws, the policeman's laws, the laws in our job. We just don't like laws. Let me do whatever I want. That's the carnal nature. The gospel changes that mind. And places into us a love for simply obeying. I mean a love for obeying God. Listen to these words, Christ's Object Lessons, page 97, paragraph 3. The man who attempts to keep the commandments of God from a sense of obligation merely because he's required to do so will never enter into the joy of obedience. He does not obey. When the requirements of God are accounted a burden because they cut across human inclination, we may know that the life is not a Christian life. Now listen carefully. True obedience is the outworking of a principle within. It springs from the love of righteousness, the love of the law of God. The essence of all righteousness is loyalty to our Redeemer. This will lead us to do right because it is right. Because right doing is pleasing to God. God loves when you do right, and the gospel is the power to enable us to do right. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And is written, the just shall live by faith. We have faith. And wherever genuine faith exists, there must be the works, better known as obedience. I say one more time to all of you listening. God wants you to obey Him. simple as that. And the power to obey, He will provide. In other words, you can say to God, Father, if you want me to obey, help me, and He will. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for the proper use of power. That is the obedience of faith. Because divine power is not fully expressed in an atmosphere of doubt, disbelief. Lord, we've heard the word by a human agent, a weak agent. Let your Spirit of truth, dear God, explain it even more clearly as your people prepare to leave this building and wherever they are. In the name of Jesus, God, help us to understand that sin came into the world because of disobedience. And the gospel is your powerful way to restore in us a natural love for obeying you. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, help us to love doing right because it is right. And the standard of right is your law. Help us to love the gospel because it is the gospel of God, Father, your gospel. It is the gospel of Christ. Help us to love the gospel because it is good news. Help us to love the gospel because its purpose is to deliver us from the bondage of sin. Put into our hearts, dear God, a love for righteousness, which is right doing, and a hatred for sin. As we leave, take us safely. Bring us back tomorrow. But when we come back, Father, wherever we come back from, let us come back people with a love for obedience. Obedience to God. Because obedience ultimately is life. Thank you for the honor of speaking for you. Watch over us tonight, Father. Bring us back tomorrow, dear God. In Jesus' name I pray, let God's people say, Amen and Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.